We started a series last week, Famous Last Words. Say Famous Last Words. Because it's always intriguing when someone is about to die and they know they're dying, what they say on their deathbed or what they say in the last moments of life really does reveal a lot about their lives and the things that are important to them. And so we're taking it specifically from when the Jesus was on the cross. Now, before I say that, you know, one scripture that I just want to interject this as a precursor to the message. The Bible tells us this. There's a verse that says, give thanks unto the Lord for he is good, right? And his mercy endures forever. God's mercy endures forever. We can give thanks because we know it doesn't qualify us to live any way we want. It's not a matter of, okay, I got God's mercy so I can sin and live any way I want and God's always going to pull me out right the last minute. People that buy into that lie find out sometimes the hard way. It doesn't work because it doesn't. Paul says in Romans 6 that because we have freedom from sin, does that mean that we should, and have this grace and mercy, does that mean we should sin freely? God forbid. Because when you sin, you bring yourself under the subjection and the control of the devil. You allow the enemy in the house. And that you don't expect the thief to steal. But you're the one who opened the door and made the invitation. And so that I want to precursor it with that because there is God's mercy, but never underestimate or have the mindset that, and it's a trap of the devil to say, well, I got God's mercy and I can be forgiven anytime I pray a prayer, so I'm just going to live the way I want to and do, I'm just going to go out in the world and live in sin and do this stuff and I know it's wrong, but somewhere down the road I'll just do a quick prayer. And they think they can play God and it doesn't work that way. Did you hear me? It doesn't work that way. That you will come out of the short end of the stick and wishing you had never gone down that road. Another verse just as a precursor to message, and I've never done it this way, but the Bible says, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I like that verse because it tells me a couple things that God created this day. God is a very strategic God, so he does stuff with a purpose, not just by accident. And so God has a way, and I think this has helped me in my life. Anytime I come up to a problem and I don't know what to do, I remind myself, Jesus knew I'd be here before I knew I'd be here. So he's already got this thing figured out before I even got there. That's why I believe Jehovah Jireh means the God who saw your need before you even knew there was a need and has made provision for the need. Way before you even knew it was there, God already had the answer. Can I get an amen? And that can open up our mind and understanding, all right, God, what do you want me to do? So this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice. I rejoice in it because I know God has made this day. And because I can rejoice in it, know that God's already has something great planned for me this day, I'm going to be glad in it. Come on, somebody. Amen. Say, I'm happy. Come on, say, I'm glad. Because I'm rejoicing. I'm rejoicing because I know God created this day. So whatever you might have been dealing with yesterday, when you woke up today, know that the game's not over for you. The end is not here. It's not impossible because if you woke up today, God still can bring you through whatever you might be dealing with today because he has a way of giving to you something that you need. Now, today's message is going to be specifically geared for a small group of people today. As I get into it. But also, it's not just for a small group today. Because God knows and has planned this day with purpose and with strategy. And though you might look, as we get into it, say, I don't know if I need that today, Pastor. You need to receive and embrace the truth because God wants to take that seed. A farmer that knows that he's going to need fruit in the harvest plants a seed in a timeline that will provide the harvest when he needs it. So he doesn't get hungry and say, well, I need to go out and see if anybody planted anything. No. He doesn't get hungry and say, I wonder if I plant anything. No. He knows he's going to be hungry, so he plants before he has the need. God has a way of planting his truth in your life, and there'll be times that we'll look at truths and say, yeah, I don't need that. But someone might need it in your near future. I remember one time as a young Christian, I was reading the Bible, and one of the coolest things in your walk with God is when you're reading the Bible, it becomes alive to you, and you can apply that, and God's dealing with you. And I remember on this specific day, I was reading the Bible, and there's this verse that just jumped off the page. It came alive in my heart, and I thought, God, that, I don't need this, but it came so alive to my heart. I thought, Lord, why are you bringing this to my attention? Why are you giving me revelation on this? It had nothing to do with any part of my life in the phase of life I was in. And yet within a couple hours, I had a phone call. And I started talking to this person on the phone, and they were calling needing prayer. And God had given me the answer to their problem. Come on, somebody. Before I even knew I was going to be talking to them about the problem. And I remember saying, you're not going to believe this, but just earlier today, this is what the Lord dropped on my heart from Scripture. And as I began to read and share what the Lord gave to me, it began to minister to them. Because our life can't just be ourselves and an island to ourselves. We're not a population of one. God has connected us with each other. Can I get an amen? Amen. So I encourage you to get your hearts and minds open as we go into the Word. And one more time, let's put our hands together as we get focused on what's being said. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every person at the sound of my voice, and I ask you to supernaturally anoint our ears and our eyes and understanding so that we can receive the seed of your truth and word into our lives. So some of us can benefit immediately, but all of us benefit in the future as that word produces something in us that not only can change us, but change those we come in contact with. And we thank you, Father God, because this is the day you have made. We rejoice and look with gladness and great expectation. Our anticipation is high because we know that you are a good God, you are a heavenly Father, and you have good things for us. And everyone said, amen. Amen. The Gospel of Luke chapter 23. One of the criminals, verse 39, one of the criminals who hung there hurled insults. This is the NIV translation, hurled insults at Jesus. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God, he said. Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus answered him, and here's our phrase, the famous last words. Jesus said, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. Amen. Why am I drawing attention to that in this series? Because I want to bring attention to something that I believe that we will all need, either in our lives or in the lives of those we come in contact with. That when it comes to the gospel is the good news. Can I get an amen? And it is a strategy of the devil, the thief who's come to steal, kill, and destroy. It's a strategy of the enemy of your soul to tell you or those that you will come in contact with that it is too late for them. That the last sin they did was the crossing line that God cannot and will not ever forgive them, qualify them, justify them, make them righteous again. That is beyond their point of ever coming back and having all that God has for them. But today, I want to draw attention to this phrase again. Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. What am I saying? I don't know exactly who am I talking to specifically for today, but if it's not for you today, receive this truth into your heart for later. But I believe that there are people that need to hear this today, and that phrase is, it's never too late. Let me say that again. It's never too late. I want to get that into the deposit of your spirit person so that when the devil begins to tell you it's too late for you, God doesn't love you, he's angry, he'll never forgive you. I want you to hear out of the voice of the goodness of God, it is never too late. Look to your neighbor and say, it's never too late. Come on, say it again. Say, it's never too late. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I am so thankful that if and when I sin and if and when I confess my sins, that the faithfulness and just is not based upon me, but upon God, for he is faithful. It's not he might be, he is. It's not he might be, he is. Come on, somebody. He is faithful. You know, you know somebody is faithful when you don't have to stress out or worry about if they're going to do what they said they're going to do. You know, so when someone's truly faithful, then they've been proved themselves to the place that if they said they're going to be there, they're going to be there. You can relax and say, I need you to pick up some stuff at the store. I got it covered. You don't have to think about it. I need you to handle this at the office. If they're faithful, you don't have to worry about it. They have it. That means you can take your mind off stressing about it. I wonder if they're going to do it. I wonder if they're going to do it. No. If they're faithful and they said they were going to do it, then their ability and their faithfulness will carry them through to the completion of the process so that you can enjoy where you're at because you don't have to figure it out. You don't have to do it for them. They're faithful. God is faithful. Say, God is faithful. That means if he said, if you will confess your sins, I will forgive you. Notice, and cleanse you from all righteousness. If I obey what he says to do, he is faithful. I don't have to worry about, I wonder if he's going to do it. I wonder if he changed his mind this time. I wonder if he's changed the plans and maybe for everybody else, but not me. That's a lie of the devil, and I'm here to speak into your life who I may be talking to, that you may be living under the darkness of the cloud of question that the devil has created in your own mind, telling you that God will never truly, he might forgive some, but he will never truly forgive you and make you clean, white as snow by the blood of Jesus. And I'm here to tell you to set you free with the truth, the good news of the gospel, that it's never too late. If you confess your sins, God is faithful, he is just, and he will forgive you. Come on, that is something we can clap about. Because there is not a person in this room that has not sinned. There is not a person in this room that has not failed God. There is not a person in this room that hasn't had to bow our knee and say, God, I have no more excuses. I'm not going to call it something that it's not. I'm not going to call it a mistake. I am not going to call it a bad habit. I'm going to call it what it is. It's a sin, and I repent. There's nobody that is good within themselves, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So all of us can get excited at some level or another, because Jesus said, to whom much is forgiven, much loves much. And I'm telling you, we ought to get excited about the goodness of God, because it's not your goodness, it's his goodness. It's not your faithfulness, it's his faithfulness. It's not your just, it's his just. And because we can come to the altar of God of mercy and say, God, I have sinned, forgive me. And the devil will scream, it's too late for you. You can rise up and say, it's never too late. It's never too late. I can have a fresh start today. It's never too late. Now let me just, in practical balance, let me give you, because our minds can start working, let me give you a few exceptions to this. Got quiet. Number one, you could say it's too late when you're dead. So that I could quantify that. If you're dead, okay, it's too late. Some people, you know what I mean, have the mindset, oh, I'll die and someone will pray me out of this thing. No. Not going to happen that way. Not going to happen that way. So if you wait till you die, then you decide you're going to accept Jesus, nah. See, the interesting thing about dying and something about standing before the throne of God, I think all the atheists are going to, you know what I mean? There's not going to be atheists that's going to stand before God and say, I still don't believe in you. I refuse to believe. No, they're all, There's not going to be a non-believer as far as believing the existence of God when they stand before the throne of God. We're saved by grace through faith. Faith is not that you see it, then believe. It's believe it before you see it. It's a revelation from God in your heart that God's dealt with you and you receive Jesus as Lord of your life. So expecting to die and somebody else pray you out of that, it's not going to happen. It won't happen. Second thing that might be an exception might be, oh, I'll wait till the rapture and everything goes bad, and then I'll start living for Jesus. I know these are maybe stories that you have heard, or I know growing up in the church as a young teenager, you know, when everything's, as a teenager, you're in church, and you love God, but all the stuff that's happening around you, and there's a temptation of, why don't I just live the way I want to live? And I'll just, if the rapture happens, I'll just get my head cut off after that, and then I'll go to heaven, and we'll call it a day. Yeah, never thought of that. Okay, so I process a lot. You know, I'm figuring things out. I go down that road, exactly where is it going to take me? And the unfortunate reality, people think that, oh, I'll wait to the last minute, or if I miss the rapture and I'll just get in at the last second. Listen, if you can't serve Jesus on this side, amen. When they're lining you up to cut your head off, that's not going to be the time you think you're going to get strong. Okay. I'm just giving you exceptions. And another exception I would throw in there is probably Luke's Gospel of 12, Jesus talking about blaspheming the Holy Spirit. And that is in context. He had cast out a demon, and the the religious leaders were saying, you're casting demons out by the power of Beelzebub, which means basically the power of the Lord of the Flies, or a.k.a. the power of the devil. And Jesus goes into that a house divided itself cannot stand. And then he starts talking about, you can blaspheme the Father and be forgiven. You can blaspheme the Son and be forgiven. But if you ever blaspheme the Holy Spirit, you can never be forgiven in this life or the life to come. So that would be an exception. But I'm here to tell you that, and this is something that I remember growing up and struggling with at one time, thinking, Lord, have I ever blasphemed? Because you hate, you know, I hate to say something wrong. Was that blaspheming you? And I don't want to cross that road. And how do I know if I've ever blasphemed the Holy Spirit? Because you hate to get to heaven and find out, you know, you did, and now you're not making it to heaven, and all this stuff. The devil tries to mess with us. Have you ever noticed he tries to mess with your mind? Amen. So much. And if that's ever been a concern or a question in your own life, have I ever blasphemed the Holy Spirit? The reality is you don't do it by accident. Did you hear me? You don't blaspheme the Holy Spirit by accident. Blaspheming the Holy Spirit is when you know the Holy Spirit is working or doing something, and you know it, and you purposely make a decision to credit what God is doing as demonic. And that's what they were doing at that time, and that's why Jesus went into that teaching. But it's not an act. It's not something you do by accident. It's something you do on purpose. You know it's God, but you're calling it the devil. It's not because, and I've had people say, oh, that's of the devil, and it would be of God. But they didn't know it was of God. They just tagged it to what they thought. Doesn't mean they blasphemed the Holy Spirit. It's a knowing. It's an act that you do on purpose, knowing. And a person knows that they've done it because when you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, God's presence is removed from you. You're never to be forgiven. And a person that's in that state has no, are you listening to me? Has no desire for the things of God. So it's not a matter of somebody coming saying, I think I have, I'm kind of concerned. No, if you love God, you haven't blasphemed the Holy Spirit. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit. You can't even approach God without the Holy Spirit. You can. So what you see is someone, not to go down this road too deeply or too long, so if someone purposely blasphemes the Holy Spirit, that person is left in a state where they have no interest in the things of God at all. So if you ever get concerned of, Lord, have I blasphemed? You haven't, because you wouldn't even be approaching them in prayer. Does that make sense? Because the very fact of you approaching God is a work of the Holy Spirit. The very fact of you wanting to be right with God is a work of the Holy Spirit. Okay? So it's not a matter of someone even doing it out of air. It's a purposeful act. But those would be what I would consider exceptions. So I want to bring a balance to this, because otherwise I get emails or people calling me and say, well, what about this situation? So it would be too late. Okay. Yeah, you're dead. It's too late there. Blaspheming the Holy Spirit would be too late there. Yeah, okay. I got it. But all that aside, we can go back to the truth. When the devil starts messing with you, and if you failed in sin and said, God, can you ever forgive me? I want you to hear this. It's never too late. Number two, there's a new beginning for you. We're doing it in 3 points. Typically, we don't do that, but we are today. It's a new beginning for you. See, I have a new beginning. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, and wants you to get this, this we have heard so much in the church world, but if we're not careful, we'll allow a great truth to become common, and we'll miss out on the power. Therefore, if any man or person be in Christ, he or she is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. All things are become new. It's not too late for your new beginning. Did you hear me? It's not too late. But, Pastor, I have messed so much stuff up. I have jacked up so many things in so many areas. I can never have a fresh start. It's not too late for a new beginning. Are you listening to me? It's not too late for a new beginning. It's not too late for a new beginning. I've seen people's lives so jacked up, and then they come to God and let Jesus not only be their Savior, but their Lord. Boy, there's a big difference there. Because a lot of people want Jesus to be the Savior. They want Jesus to take away the sins and the guilt and all the heartache and make them feel good about life, but they're not too sure about Jesus being Lord. Can I get an amen? But I find through Scripture that Jesus can't just be your Savior. He wants to be your Lord also. Jesus didn't walk around on this earth saying, if you just give me a little bit of your time, that's cool. Let's all come. Come on, everybody. follow me. Just get, I'm not asking for a lot. Just maybe, can we maybe, let's work, how about 75 minutes once a week? How about Sunday? Let's 75 minutes, and let's all come to follow me. 75, that's not how it works. That's how it works in the church world today. It's getting quiet on me. In fact, the average, not just like any church, but on the average, across the board, most people who say they're a member of a church, any church, on average, go to church once every 3 Sundays. 75 minutes, hour and a half, whatever it might be, once every 3 weeks. Can you imagine if Jesus saying, come on, disciples, now all I ask you to do is follow me. A few hours every 3 weeks. I'm not trying to make you feel bad about anything. I just want you to understand something. Because if we want a new beginning and we want to walk this life out, unless you want to just try to do it on your own, and we do it on your own, you keep coming around the same mountain, falling in the same pit, and running the same problem, getting caught up in the same sin, being controlled by the same demon, and you can't wonder, God's got to be more than this, and there is more than this, because God has a new beginning. God didn't want you just to be a new and improved of who you were. He wants you to be a new person altogether. Have you ever noticed in the marketplace, they're always coming out with a new and improved? You thought last one, this is really great. Next week, we got something, this is amazing. 6 months later, the same product, it's amazing. Well, what was it last time? Have you ever noticed the ones that have a going out of business sale? They've been doing that every weekend for 3 years. You're on the... Some of them, you see the commercials, some of them, I don't know how old they are because they have a birthday every 2 months. Or dad's out of town and we're going to sell everything off. Why is dad out of town so much? See, when we try to manage this ourselves, we're trying to be better. Nothing wrong with being better. We're trying to be a better person that we were. So we're taking a bad person and making them a little better. Praise God, I'm a little better. But the gospel is not you to be improved. See, in the world system, if we're not careful, and the world's mindset has tried to creep into the church world, and we'll utilize biblical principles to make ourselves a little better.
Come on. Well, yeah.
Let me get on a soapbox for 60 seconds and I'll come back up. If we're not careful, we'll allow the mindset of the world to come creep into the church and take Bible principles to help us make our lives better. And you should be better. You should do stuff to maximize your potential. But if that's the maximum of what this experience is about, you're missing out. Because there's something that you cannot do, that only God can do. And that's why this Bible's called the gospel, or the good news. That he doesn't want you to be a better bad person.
Right.
Well, I'm broken, but I'm not as broken. I'm still sick, but I'm not as sick. I'm still crazy, come on somebody, but I'm not as crazy. I'm still angry, but I'm not as angry. See, I'm getting better. But God doesn't want you just to get better. When you repent and come before God, he wants to give you a brand new beginning. Something about that has been stripped. Are you listening to me? This has been stripped out of the gospel of the modern day church. And that is that the gospel is the good news of the power of God that can take an addict and deliver them in a moment. That can take an anger management dropout and bring them and make them to love the people around them. It can take a person who is broken and make them whole. Not by good counseling, but by the good news of Almighty God in salvation. We want to improve. We want to grow. We want to learn. Those are all things that God wants for you. But you can't be Jesus. He is the Savior and Lord. And he didn't walk around saying, come on, give me just a fragment of your priorities and follow me. Now, Jesus walked around and would say stuff that if you love your parents more than me, you are not worthy of me. He would look at people and say, lay down your life, follow me. Because he doesn't want to just be your Savior. He wants to be your Lord. Listen to me, church. Even if you're a guest, listen to me. Jesus cannot lie. Jesus cannot sin. Jesus cannot fail. Are you listening to me? And Jesus cannot be second. And in the modern day church, we shop around for Jesus to what fits comfortably in the control of our own lives, as if we are the ones that are truly to be in charge. And we can't figure out why the counseling and all the principles, because we can get to a place of, well, I'm getting better, but I'm not there. Well, God, why is this not working? Because sometimes we got to get to the reality of it can't be us. We got to bow our knee and say, Lord, it's no longer I. Jesus, I need you to do this. Because I'm a wreck. And when you put a wreck person and give them the control and improve their lives, even with good principles, you take a crazy person, give them good principles. They might be better, but at the end of the day, they're still crazy. Come on, somebody. I heard a person say recently, one thing about the church is like a Snickers bar. You keep eating, eventually you can run into a nut. You know what I mean? There's some crazy people. There's some crazy people in the world. Crazy people in the church world. But the gospel, listen to me, is that God can not only forgive you, but make all things new. So it's not like you were a alcoholic and now you have learned to manage it. No, he can set you free so that you don't even have a desire when you see it. If we're not careful, the modern day church will produce people with good management skills of themselves, people that can control themselves. And praise God, you might not be killing everybody on Friday night because you're learning to get a control of your anger management. But how about where you don't have that rage growing on the inside of you and that you can look at people that even do you wrong and feel love toward them? You can't do that on your own ability. You need the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ to change you. I'm talking about something that is mind-boggling. That there is the possibility of a new beginning. That in Jesus, all things have become new. I'm a pervert and now I just control it and I don't look at porn. You can be delivered where you don't have the desire. Not somebody who's a cheater or a liar and you've learned to control it. You can be new. And sometimes we've been saved so long we forget the goodness of the gospel. And once we forget, you know what happens? When we see people that were just like us before, we don't reach out in mercy. We look at them in condemnation and judgment. Say, their life's all messed up. I'm glad I'm not them. You would have been them if it wasn't for Jesus. You were them a few years back. You done forgot it. We can be saved in the church so long that we start thinking we saved ourselves. You didn't save yourself. You're not that good. When it comes to the cross, we all come the same way. And the power of the gospel is that there is a new beginning, that it's not too late. When we repent and come before God, he can forgive us, he can cleanse us, and he can, by his power, give us a new beginning. Don't settle. Are you listening to me? Don't settle for anything less. Don't let the devil get you to compromise. Well, how about if you don't feel guilty and bad about it and we kind of just only we do drugs maybe once every 3 months? Well, why are we compromising? You don't stand your ground and say, no, demon. I want what God says is mine. I want a new beginning. All things become new. It's not an improved bad person. I'm a brand new person. It's not an improved genetical line. Apple falls from a tree and your family's crazy, so you're going to be crazy. No. I'm grafting into a new vine. If nobody comes to Jesus out of my natural family and they all go crazy, I am disconnected from that to an extent because spiritually I've been grafted into a new vine, into the vine of God and his family. Do you see that? The devil will get us convinced that because there's so much stuff in the past that all of a sudden you have to follow it. I'm here to tell you, you don't. Did you hear me? I'm here to tell, I'm talking to somebody. You do not have to follow the pattern and the path that has been played out and lived out before you all your lives by those you know and love. And I don't know who I'm talking to. But my dad grew up in a world as a kid that was not conducive for anything positive. His father was an alcoholic. His uncles were alcoholics. His cousins were alcoholics. When he was 5 years old, they would get together and sometimes think it was fun to give him some vodka and watch him bounce around as a drunk little kid, and he had no idea what was going on. You put alcohol in a little kid's bottle, what, are you crazy? None of them educated. Drop out. Struggle financially. Lived in the environment that he was the poor, his family, because his dad would work in the steel mill and they would get his paycheck and take his paycheck and go cash it and go to the bar. Poverty, alcoholism, had a grandma that was a witch. And was known in her community and would do cast spells and stuff. Are you listening to me? In an environment of racism and bigotry. And he came when he got saved at the age of 17, decided that he didn't have to live in the same pattern that he had been, that he had seen his parents. And hang on, wait, abuse. Grew up in an environment of abuse. When he was 7 years old, he knocked over a lamp of his mom and broke it on accident. She sent him out of the house until he'd come back with a lamp. He walked the streets as a seven-year-old by himself, not knowing where in the world is he going to get a lamp. Would beat him unmercifully. Would beat him with an ironing cord and not allow him to cry. Physical abuse, emotional abuse, alcoholism, witchcraft, racism, poverty. But he had made a decision that when he got saved, all things become new. You can't just let this fall in your lap. You got to grab this with both hands and say, devil, you're a liar. And when I got saved, it's not me being a better, bad person. All things are becoming new. And he put himself through school. He put himself through Bible school. He educated. He went through the system. He became a man of God and started this church. Became pastor of this church with there was like three families in the 60s. And was a pastor for 40 years and put his kids through school. And we lived a whole different world than he lived. He broke the cycle. Because, not just because he was great, because the greatness of our God gives you a brand new beginning. Don't settle for anything less. Don't you dare settle for anything less. You can be the one that breaks the cycle and passes the baton to a generation that has no idea what you went through. Holy makes all things new. Last but not least, I want you to know this is not something that has to happen in the future. Jesus, again, verse 43 says, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, I tell you now that is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. What am I telling you? Don't wait till tomorrow. You start today. Don't wait till next week. Don't wait till perfect conditions. Well, I'll wait to see if I get that new job, then I'll start. I'll wait till everything's right, then I'll start. I'll wait till everything works my way, then I'll begin. I'll wait till I get this other stuff dealt with because I got some problems I'm trying to resolve and I think I got a handle on it. No, that's not how it works. Start today. When God's dealing with you, start today. When God begins to speak to you, act immediately. Don't wait. It's a strategy of the devil to steal from you what is rightfully belonging to you. Start today because you have available. It is not too late. You have a new beginning. Let's begin today.